This presentation has been previously broadcast.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Most souls go to hell, Jacinta said, because of sins of the flesh. Not that they are the most awful sins. They're not.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
I don't know if you recognize that voice. That was John Hafford, and he is the founder of the Blue Army. And that's such a powerful quote. I'm often haunted by that. You know, most souls go to hell for what reason? Sins of the flesh. And I remember in that reported apparition, Our Lady, the Virgin Mary, appeared in Fatima, Portugal, back in 1917 to three shepherd children. And there was an aspect, a lot, they were shown the fires of hell. They were given, visions, and the Virgin warned about the rise of atheistic communism and the annihilation of nations and the Holy Father having much to suffer. They were given secrets, but there was an aspect of that vision that always struck with me. There was a young girl in the community who died at 17, and the seers asked the Virgin about her. They said, well, what about, I don't know her name, what about so-and-so? You know what the Blessed Mother told him? Here's a young girl, 17-year-olds, right? She'll be in purgatory until the end of time. And I'm thinking, what did this girl do that would send her to purgatory to the end of time? And I often think that we underestimate the sins of the flesh. Most souls go to hell for sins of the flesh. And yet they're easily forgiven, as you just heard. You know, just so easily forgiven. There is hope if you are struggling. I'm going to give you a spiritual antidote first, and then I'm going to give you some other practical advice as well. Confession, all right? Christ's mercy. No mind, be it human or angelic, will fathom it through all eternity. He told St. Faustina that, I say to you, go to confession. There you will receive unbelievable grace, and you will begin to find the healing you need. And the beauty of confession, yeah, you might fall. You might have to go again and again and again. But that grace builds upon itself. And I'll tell you what, it will help you rise above the vice and the temptation and the snares of the evil one. So if you or a loved one is struggling, especially with pornography, I'm going to give you some great resources coming up here in a second to get some help. Yeah, it was. I received an email from a nun. Right, I know her very well. You know Sister Brittany, right? She's on Morning Air. She's been on the show here in the past. But she sent me a text one day, and she says, "Drew, you ought to do a show on women in porn." And I'm like, "Women in porn? See, guys are so visual, right? So for a guy." We're stimulated but through the eye, if you will. Women are more relational. That's why maybe 50 Shades of Grey and the literacy sometimes does a little bit more for women. But things are changing. Women are now engaging in pornography at higher levels. When you talk about porn being a problem, the image of props in your mind, of course, is some guy, right, on his phone or on his laptop or whatever it may be. But women are using it more and more. Back in 2013, the Pew Research Center reported that 12% of U.S. adults who use the internet, they've admitted to watching porn videos. 12% of U.S. adults. That's 2013. 8% of them were female. But check this out. Those stats woefully underestimated the number of people who view it even then. 2 years later, the magazine Marie Claire commissioned a survey of women, and they found that 31% of the respondents viewed porn on a weekly basis. Not randomly, but on a weekly basis. Another 30% said they viewed it a couple times a month. Now, again, this is Marie Claire, which might have an agenda, but I think the stats were telling. However, they probably weren't the best either. We haven't been able to find more recent statistics, but in a moment I'll be joined by two people who have made this their mission, their ministry. They are helping people to heal, to find freedom from addiction to pornography. They often talk about what happens to the brain when you engage in pornography. But if you're dealing with this issue, turn up the radio or pull over or sit down or, you know, join the conversation. You can get on here at 888-914-9149. I'd love to hear your story. You can always call anonymously. And if you want to share about something you're going through, you know, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's a loved one of some sort, feel free to dial in. We're going to have experts here that will be able to give you really sage advice. But right now I'm joined by Sister Brittany Harrison. She is the one who sent me that text, and she says, look, Drew, the girls I work with, they're more and more having issues with pornography. She's a Salesian nun. She is the social media coordinator for these wonderful nuns, and she teaches. She has young girls around her, and She's got her ear to the ground, and she knows what's going on. She says, you know, if you look for help trying to stop it, all the stuff she says is geared towards men. You do a tremendous service if you maybe address the female side of pornography. And I thought, you know what? That's brilliant. It's the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about it. Sister B, first of all, thanks for joining me. It's good to talk with you today.
Thanks for having me, Drew. And I'm so glad that you're doing this segment because it is something that I have seen building over the years of working with young people. And I've been in catechetical ministry since 2003. And ever since then, with the young people I've worked with, I've seen this becoming more and more an issue. And the culture really is shifting towards acceptance of pornography as something normal, healthy, a rite of passage. I was reading one study from the Barna Group that they said only 1/3 of teens and young adults think it's wrong to view porn. So that means 2/3 think it's totally fine and there's nothing wrong with it. And as I talk to young people, a lot of them hold that position because that's what their parents are telling them. You know, I am hearing from young people whose parents are buying them subscriptions to sites or who are introducing them to pornography as a way of, quote unquote, educating themselves. And that scares me a lot as someone who works with young people that are developing their character and their future selves as adults, because there's over 50 studies that show a direct link between porn and sexual violence. And for girls specifically, this is very frightening.
Yeah, a lot of the porn, I guess, is directed towards that. Is that what you're seeing online? A lot of sexual violence against women in particular?
Well, anything that reduces the human person to a thing to be used makes violence more possible. Yeah. Because if I no longer see you as a person with equal dignity and value to me, that your body is just something I'm using, then violence, which uses your body in a negative way or treats it in a negative way, isn't that big of a jump. And for these girls who are viewing these sexual encounters through pornography, and you know, you can start off with something pretty quote unquote mild, and the more you're exposed to pornography, the more you want a little more intense stuff, because the chemicals that are activated in your brain, they don't respond the same way. I'm sure your guests will talk about that more, because you're hijacking the reward center of your brain. So as you go for like harder and harder pornography, what you're really doing is training your brain to accept that as normal human behavior, as normal relationship, as normal sexual expression. So I see these girls, a direct link between viewing pornography and having an addiction to that and struggling or not. Some of them are fine with it, you know, and then seeking out boyfriends that are abusive towards them, either emotionally or physically. There's really a direct connection towards that, you know, and also it's affecting their body image as young women, because the majority of these women in these films have a lot of plastic surgery or alterations or post-film editing that is done, even to the point that there's like specific surgeries for women's body parts that I'm not going to mention on the radio, because girls think that they don't look normal because nobody knows what normal is anymore. They think that what they see in pornography is the norm for how we should look. So it is far reaching.
So tell me, what are you hearing from the girls, if you can share that? And then what are you saying to them? I mean, how are you able to communicate with them?
Well, I'm hearing from them, it's so easy to find it. I see that a lot of them begin not with pornography, but with sexting. And for those who aren't familiar, sexting is where you're sending sexually suggestive or explicit photos and videos back and forth with somebody. And often it's the girls being asked by their boyfriends or guys to do this. And I read one study that said 62% of teens and young adults have received a nude image from somebody, and 40% of girls say they've sent one.
Wow.
So this is something happening a lot more and more. And, you know, not only is that difficult in a moral issue, it's also dangerous for their future careers, because once you've created an image and sent it out there, it can take on a life of its own, and that can open them up to being blackmailed and, you know, emotionally abused. So they start with the sexting. And then after the sexting, they become curious. And my experience has been that for young women, for teenagers, the step into pornography is not the desire for the sexual thrill in the same way as it is for the boys that I've worked with. But for women, it's the curiosity. Huh. It's escape from problems or negative emotions. It's like a way of numbing it, or because the chemicals that are triggered in your brain help suppress negative emotions and make you feel good. So that's a way of triggering those chemicals. It's a sense of connection, or maybe validating themselves, because there's so many fringe forms of pornography that whatever they think they are, there's something geared towards that. And so it just begins to slide, and it's very slippery. Yeah. It happens so quickly. And I think in that Fatima apparition, Our Lady said souls were falling into hell like snowflakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. And I can totally see that, because it's such a trap. The girls don't begin exposing themselves to these things or letting these things be a part of their life because they want to commit sins against purity. Mm-hmm. What they want is love. What they want is validation. And because the culture has reduced the role of woman to what her body looks like and its utility in the hands of a man,
yep,
they breathe in the pornographic culture that tells them, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to be. So learn how to do this sexual act. Learn how to do this or please a man in this way. And so they get into that. And because it is so highly addictive, it's a very difficult thing to get out of, which I know your guests are going to talk about, but it is possible. And I know so many girls that when they talk about this, they're so ashamed, Drew. Like, their body language, they're like closing in on themselves, and they don't want to make eye contact, and they're red, or they cry. Like, there's so much pain bound up in this addiction and in the sinful choice, but there's so much hope, because God's mercy is so much greater. And so for them, I always start with, God loves you. He's not ashamed of you. You are good. You know, this choice is bad, but this choice is very complicated. You know, yeah, you feel weak because it's involving so many layers of your physiology as a woman. And so we have to look at it from a spiritual perspective. What are we going to do to strengthen you spiritually with the sacraments? How are we going to deal with this emotionally? What are your triggers for seeking out this kind of behavior? How are we going to strengthen you socially? Are you feeling lonely or isolated? So how are we going to expand your social groups so you have people to lean on? And you just go through that with them, and you break it down and help them to understand themselves,
yep,
as women. And it makes it seem so less terrifying, yep, of a difficulty to get out of, because God's mercy, yep, gives us everything we need, and we can help each other. And women and young girls, yep, deserve to be helped with this, because it's a lie about who they are called to be. And they know it's a lie. That's, yep, why the shame is there. But when you offer them freedom,
yep,
their joy in God's mercy is so great. And it does humble us to go through this, but humility opens the doors to a lot of graces.
Well, sister, I think the Holy Spirit's speaking through you today, and I'm glad you invited me to maybe address this issue. I have in the studio with us as well right now friends of mine, people who've been great contributors to the program over the year, Bruce and Jeannie Hahnemann. They were on a program that if you or your loved one is struggling with sexual health, with pornography, you got to check this website out. I often recommend it. I think it is a great resource. It's called Reclaim. Reclaim God's Plan for Sexual Health. You can find them online at reclaimsexualhealth.com. Reclaimsexualhealth.com. I find the brain science absolutely fascinating. What happens not just emotionally and psychologically, but physiologically. It's all part of this, this great addiction that we call pornography today, and it's more rampant than ever. And Jeannie and Bruce, first of all, welcome. Sister is going to stay with us for a few more moments, but it's good to have you, good to have both of you here in studio with me.
Thank you very much. Drew, and you talked about men being more visual than women.
Yeah.
And actually, that's an old statistic.
Is it really?
New studies are showing that women are actually more visually aroused than men are by a wider range of stimuli. Now, that's something I felt in my gut even before I could find research that supported that. And I'll just say to you, does your wife ever get upset, Drew, when you don't notice she just had a new haircut or new earrings or a new dress, right? Because to women, that visual stuff means a lot. What do women do before they're, you know, going to go out in public? They, you know, have to fix their hair just perfect. They check
that's
the mirror all the time. We are very visually stimulated.
Yeah.
We are very visually tuned into things. And so that's an old belief that men were
I
more
find
visual.
That fascinating. As for my wife, I'll tell you what happens. She yells at me all the time for this.
See?
You know, she'll get dressed up. We're getting ready to go out. We got an event to go to or something. I'm like, come on, honey, we got to go. We're late. We're getting in the car. she says, you know, and then other days I'll say to her, my gosh, you look beautiful. You're absolutely gorgeous, yeah, yeah, you know, or whatever it is. And she says, you tell me that when I look like, you know, whatever, and yet I'm dressed up. I spent an hour and a half, 2 hours getting ready, and you never say a thing to me. So it's so funny.
And think
I'm
about
a guy,
it.
You know. Yeah, sorry, honey.
But exactly. You might spend 10 minutes getting ready to go out because it doesn't matter as much to you visually as it does to her.
Well, women got a lot more to put on. They got lots of layers, you know. And
right, Jeannie? But we do that because we care so much about visual look. And so one of the things to keep in mind really is that this topic, and I thank you, sister, for bringing this up, because we see in our work more and more women that come to us for help. And I don't have the accurate type of description to tell you about this from studies, except I could give you lots of them that are showing increase. For example, the 2019 Pornhub stats say that 30% of their visitors were women. So we can give those kinds of stats. Mm-hmm. But what I want to say is I believe that there are more women struggling with unhealthy sexual behavior than there are men. And I truly
I absolutely, positively believe
that.
Really?
Drew, do you remember a few years ago we did a presentation with you in Chicago?
Yeah, I remember that.
And, you know, we had 30 people registered the week before and 500 showed up at the door, almost all women.
Yeah.
And one right after another came to share that they are caught up in self-pleasuring themselves. This starts at a young age.
Yeah.
It's encouraged in our culture. So the pornography enables them to engage in that at a little higher level. But it is something that women are very tuned in to their bodies and to the sensations that they notice.
Okay. I don't mean to something, but explain the physiology to me, because, you know, guys are very visual. They look at a beautiful woman and they say, wow, we appreciate that, right?
And women are very visual.
And I thought women were more relational. They'd rather read the romance novel or do whatever you know.
That's what
Fifty Shades of Grey was a phenomenon. Exactly. I mean, women couldn't get enough of it, both in book and on the big screen.
I mean, that's the statistics that have been thrown out there. But that's not what we see in the day-to-day of helping of people.
That's
and
really amazing.
I think what sister said is very accurate, that the number one reason that I think women get caught up in pornography is curiosity. And many times that curiosity exists because their husbands, their boyfriends, whoever it might be, are not noticing them, and they know that they're using pornography. And so they turn to pornography to see what's that guy really looking at? And once they do, they become aroused from the stimuli that they're seeing. And their stimuli is much broader as to what can be arousing. So do they notice more of that relational stuff?
Yeah.
They're paying more attention to the emotions that are happening.
Yeah.
But that is a heightened desire that is part of God's plan for us, that we're supposed to be sexually intimate with emotions connected to it called love, our relationship with our spouse. So women are finding that these actions of pornography that are online, the videos, they are much more addictive to women because we see the emotions, we feel the energy.
Wow.
We're looking at a whole lot more than body parts.
I thought Sister brought up a great point, too, Sister, when you talked about the degradation.
Mm-hmm.
So women watch this, and as we all know, you know, what you first watched no longer gets you to the same level. You hijack the pleasure center, and then you need more and more and more. There's a detective who listens to the show and has been on the program in the past. He dealt with cybercrime, and he says he saw this all the time. He says pornography sometimes can lead all the way to child pornography. It becomes very deviant. You might want more abuse, you might want whatever, but the appetite is never satisfied. It's never fulfilling, and it takes you in a direction that always leads, you know, to a really bad place. But women, are they then saying, hey, instead of, you know, romance, love, tenderness, I want something more violent or whatever it might be. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, what happens with women, Drew, is that first of all, their brain is constructed just a little bit differently. They have more cross connections between all of their neurological portions of their brain. Men are very box-like and very oriented. So a man can visually be stimulated by something. Boom, that's it. He's stimulated. Boom, he's off onto something else. That's the women are the ones, they have all the different connections. That's why their mind keeps going, takes them and off all in all these different central connections that they have that we don't have. But as far as, you know, what you're saying about what's going on in the mind and the brain of all of this, there is an adrenaline and a chemical called PEA, which phenylethylamine, which is in chocolate. And, you know, tomorrow's chocolate day, you know, Valentine's Day.
Thank God.
And yeah, and what everybody always thought was the connection there was that it creates a giddiness and it creates a euphoria. And if you take the adrenalines that these young ladies are experiencing, and you mix that with this euphoria that comes from what normally would be young love or a fresh love.
Sure.
And you mix them together because of all the multitudes of different kinds of things they can be exposed to on the internet. It creates a cocktail that just explodes, and it goes way beyond what a man's brain can even.
Wow. So a young girl, 17, Sister Brittany, deals with, you know, high school girls who are exposed to pornography like this. Can it create a deviation in their sexual appetite? Can it lead them down a path that they, for example, I often wonder about homosexuality too, a young man or a young woman seeing, you know, homosexuality, if they find that titillating or stimulating or whatever it may be, does it maybe make them, I don't know. I got to be careful about this issue because there's so many reasons for it. I don't want to say it's any one, but if not that, if there's another behavior, there's bondage, there's whatever it might be, will it draw that particular person, if they get stimulated by those types of visuals, maybe to find themselves drawn to that lifestyle?
Absolutely. And one of the things that studies have shown is that when a woman is watching a pornography video online or wherever, what happens is she's actually, let's say it's a heterosexual relationship she's viewing, she's watching the woman. And if a man is watching that very same image, that same video, he's watching the man. Yep. And why is that? Well, it's kind of like if you take Kathy, your wife, off to that party when she's all dressed up like that, I can guarantee you when she walks in the room, she's checking out the rest of the women. That's just part of what we do. And so even when watching videos of pornography, we check out the competition, and so do guys. And so that's part of what's happening. Well, you see, all that sexual energy starts happening in those urges, those feelings, but you're visually looking at the same sex. And so that begins a type of connecting of your sexual energy with same sex. For women in particular, the number one site that women on Pornhub in 2019 researched was lesbians.
Really?
So, yeah. So there's a lot of, let me just be curious about this. Let me find out more. Yeah. What do these women have I don't have? And they begin to look, and that curiosity takes them down a path that they don't want to be on.
Let me just put a quick disclaimer out here, too. If you got kids, you're picking them up from school, or you're doing something, you know, you may want to. The conversation we're going to have here is going to be, I think, adult. So I just have a quick disclaimer for you there, okay? But you're more than welcome to join the conversation.
I think, Drew, it's an adult conversation we're having, but what I want to say to anyone who is listening who has children, you cannot stay quiet on this topic, and especially to your girls.
I agree.
Because you think that, you know, you might warn your boys and
maybe
talk to your boys,
I mean,
but they need to know that, you know, what this is about. Because the number one thing that I hear from young women who we work with is that they got caught up because they heard about something, a term or something they didn't know that was sexual. So they went online as kind of their sex education and got themselves caught up into this.
Wow. I'll tell you what, the conversation will continue after I take this short pause. If you are on hold, I'll get you on the air. If you want to join us, my guests, Jeannie and Bruce Hahnemann from Reclaim. You can check them out at Reclaim Sexual Health.
I had no idea that we had like this poisonous ingredient in our marriage, you know, that there was something else that was, you know, spoiling us from the inside out. I mean, there was no way we were ever going to fix anything if we hadn't, you know, ever attacked that problem.
It wasn't until I actually learned the physical scientific effects of pornography that it all came full circle for me, and it all came clear. All of a sudden I could understand why I got rejected, why we didn't talk, why we both turned to pornography instead of each other. I mean, I'm a living, breathing example of the pure science facts.
The truth, unfiltered. It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for allowing me to be part of your afternoon. As always, I try to give you a look at life that you're not going to find anywhere else. If you enjoy my broadcast, set your radio, okay? I'm on every afternoon from noon to 3 on the Pacific Coast and 3 to 6 on the East Coast. And you can do the math everywhere in between, 2 to 5 Central Time Zone. And I love to give you a look at life. 1 to 4 in the mountain, right, Jake? There you go. We got it all. I did the math for you. It's good to be here with you today. And tell others, if you missed part of this conversation, by the way, if you're just tuning in, you want to listen to more of it, you caught part of it, go to the archives when I sign off. Jake normally has our audio up there about hour after we go off. We're talking today about pornography, and you think, oh yeah, guys are really into that, right? Well, you might be surprised to find out that the numbers are now trending with women. More and more women are now engaged in porn and are dealing with the addiction, just as men are. And I learned something new today. I always thought men were very visual. My guest today, Jeannie Hahnemann, along with her husband, Bruce, who run an organization that really teach and help people find freedom from this, a group called Reclaim God's Plan for, it's ReclaimSexualHealth.com is their website. What's the full name?
Reclaim God's Plan for Sexual Health. But the website is ReclaimSexualHealth.com.
So what I learned from them is that women were just as visual as men. So that's kind of news for me. Let's go to the phones. We'll take a few more calls. If you want to join us, you can come on anonymously, or just feel free to come on and share. I'd love to hear from you. 888-914-9149. Paul in Arizona, thanks for your patience. You're on the air.
I really disagree with your guest, and let me explain why.
All right.
I've worked with women. My background is technical. Every single woman that I ever dated in my entire life, and I dated a couple, and I've been around a long time, probably close to the time of Noah's Ark, but I guarantee you, none of them had any capability of visualizing something like maybe an architect or an engineer would look at something. Can you see this three-dimensional drawing? Can you see the picture? None of them could, and I would take a great amount of time because I had to work with women in my field, and they would find me after I draw a three-dimensional picture of that drawing. They would see it. When it comes to women dress for women. They do not dress for men. And then they wonder why they can't find a suitable mate. Find out what the man would like to see the women dress at. And I'm not trying to demean anybody. I'm just telling you what I've experienced.
And I think that you have very valid points to what you're stating, but we're talking about something different with the visual that I was referring to. What I'm referring to is not the ability to maybe see a three-dimensional object or the things you were talking about, but instead being visually aroused, sexually visually aroused. And that's a different animal than what you were referring to. And so the studies are showing that women are extremely attentive to details within pornography, and it does arouse them sexually. And so that's the point I made. So thank you for helping to clarify that difference. One of the things we also have to keep in mind is, for example, 56% of women who are 25 years old and younger seek porn on a regular basis, compared to 27% of women over 25. And some of the hypotheses that are out there has to do with the fact that women 25 and under have grown up much more visually stimulated in general because of all the technology, the computers, the phones, all of those types of things. So we're seeing a brain change within women, I believe, too.
All right. Hey, Anthony or Paul, thank you very much for your patience. Thanks for joining us. Our next call comes from Mary Alice. She's listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Mary Alice, welcome.
So I wanted to bring up the subject of Ted Bundy. Uh-huh. So our famous serial killer, Ted Bundy. And they have a movie out, or a documentary that's out on Netflix right now. I can't see it because I don't have a subscription, or I don't get Netflix.
Right.
But I have done some research on and found this interview done by Dr. James Dobson. He interviewed Bundy the night before he died. And anybody can find this. It's an easy Google search. But I can read you, it's about four or five sentences
sure.
of what he said.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So let me quote Ted Bundy.
And thanks for asking, right. because I hate when people read on the air. So I'm glad you asked. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't like reading with an audience anyway, so this is kind of hard for me. Let me do my best shot. Okay. He writes or says, and to Dr. James Dobson in prison the night before he died, Ted Bundy says, like most other kinds of addiction, I would keep looking for more potent, more explicit, more graphic kinds of material. Like an addiction, you keep craving something which is harder, something which gives you a greater sense of excitement. Until you reach the point that pornography only goes so far. Then he adds, I've lived in prison a long time now. I've met a lot of men who were motivated to commit violence just like me. And without exception, every one of them was deeply involved in pornography. Yeah. Without question, deeply influenced and consumed by addiction to pornography. And that's all I have on that subject.
Well, thank you very much, Alice. I'm very familiar with that interview as well. Or Mary Alice, I should say. He in that interview, he said he was essentially a good person, a normal person. He had good friends, he had a normal life, except for one small, very potent, very destructive segment of his life that he kept secret and close to himself. He didn't let anybody know about it. And that was, he first discovered soft pornography. And that's how it starts. It was soft pornography in grocery stores. It compelled him to consume it. And then he went up more. And then it became increasingly violent. And then, as you quoted there, he says that addiction kept getting deeper and darker. And we know what happened to him. I mean, handsome guy who took the lives of a lot of innocent women.
Yeah, it's very much like an alcoholic starting out with a can of beer and winding up on hard liquor, you know, towards later on in his career. The brain chemistry keeps calling for something a little more potent, because the dopamine levels that come from your experience, say, of viewing pornography and then self-pleasuring, will only go just so far. And at that point, your dopamine craving becomes higher than you're able to deliver at that level. And so you seek out something that is stronger and more potent, more violent, perhaps, more bizarre, more totally out of range of anything you would normally expect yourself to be looking at or doing. And that ups the ante. That gives you a little higher cocktail level of those self-pleasing drugs than you had previously. Well, eventually you get to the point where there's no way that images of any kind are going to be able to keep supplying you with a higher and higher dosage of it. And at that point, that's when you kind of take it. We also have mirror neurons in your brain, so that the more you watch that is violently in pornographic images, the more you submerge yourself into that same type of behavior. You actually get to the point where you feel you're acting just like, vicariously, just like the person or the persons that you're watching in the porn.
Yep.
And when that happens, you lose touch with what is real and what isn't real.
Yep.
And that's when you start actually acting out in such bizarre and horrible ways that you go into just the unthinkable. And
your spouse is probably wondering, if they're not engaged in this, what the heck is going on? You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. If you think of in Ted Bundy's time, they didn't have the internet the way it is today with all the violence that is attached on the internet to pornography, because people are so sexually saturated in our culture that they almost have to jump on it hardcore, because soft porn is everywhere. And so to look at that, as Bruce said, the mirror neurons that make you think you're actually doing these acts that then move you into doing them in real life, which is what Ted Bundy did. And we're talking about women caught up in this. And one of the statistics that people are just really overwhelmed with right now is that 80% of women will eventually engage in real-time sexual behaviors that they see online, compared to men that do it at only a 33%.
That's where
I think the statistic you were sharing earlier, women are very focused on relationships. So just watching isn't enough for women. So we move
Share
into
that again.
80,
what was that stat?
80% of women,
8 out of 10 women,
eventually engage in real time sexual behaviors like they see online, compared to 33% for men.
Wow.
So part of that That's goes crazy. Into why there was a popularity of 30 Shades of Grey or some of those things, is women are watching women being abused in pornography online. And so now their mirror neurons think that's normal behavior. And now they're taking it out of the monitor and into their real life. And they're accepting abuse as normal now.
Yeah. Is it all abuse?
No, a lot of it is.
I mean, there's always the dynamic of power and control. You know, exchange, dominance, and submission. Mm-hmm. Is it all abuse?
Right now,
I would argue it's not, is it?
Oh, right now, and again, I want to be careful.
I mean,
what
pornography
I say
is, but I'm just saying, in general. I mean,
what's your question?
I'm just saying, you say all this is abuse. I guess, is there a line
I'm saying
to
all
where
of,
you cross and it becomes abuse?
I'm saying all of pornography is abuse.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I would agree.
That's what I mean. All of that is abuse, but when you are saturated in that from viewing it so much, you begin to believe this is normal. So out in the real world, you're accepting some of this abuse. I mean, I know you've covered it, everybody's covered it, but if we look at the Super Bowl, you know, halftime show, it just, you know, I'm a 60s child, right? You know, I look back at that and I think, what happened to liberating women from being objects when we see them displaying what they did, causing themselves to advertise as objects? Well, it's the whole porn philosophy in our culture. And I think too many women are buying into that, and especially some of the young women are starting to do that.
I want to get back and jump into a few more calls because time's going to go quick, and I want to talk about your organization as well. So a lot of people patiently waiting, but I've got to follow back up on what Bruce said and what you said. So people visualize, they watch this pornography, and it goes from, and because of the physiology there, from not just viewing and vicariously living and experiencing this, but into real life action. For those who are engaged in porn, those who are addicted to pornography, those who say, oh, I can't go without it, what is the best solution to find freedom? Is it absolute abstinence? Does the brain rewire through that? I also read articles that said the rosary, the prayer, meditation has a phenomenal effect on the brain. So what's the brain chemistry? What's the physiology behind this? I'm a big proponent of confession. I think people should go there and get the grace, but what are the other steps that can help that person listening right now who says, oh, man, I don't know if I could ever give this up?
Well, the first thing is that it's not a basis of just sheer willpower. The whole idea of abstinence and that being your answer, it's not going to work because it's like the elephant in the room. The more you try not to think about it, the more your brain actually wires in those circuits and keeps them alive and keeps you remembering them and thinking of them. So things like the rosary or whatever, where you're taking your mind in a completely different direction, that's where you can start to build the new circuitry, the new neural circuits. Otherwise, the other ones are just going to stay popping and active.
Wow. That's
awesome. Most of the resources that are available out there today trying to help people really focus on what is called restraining yourself. And so the focus is on abstinence and restraining and willpower. And that works for a while, and then you just can't hold it anymore, and it doesn't work. Instead, what Reclaim Sexual Health does is it works specifically on retraining the brain, not restraining, but retraining your brain. And these exercises, brain exercises, were created by brain scientists from Harvard, and they work. I mean, it's our story. We've shared this on air before. You know, Bruce tried everything to get out of his porn addiction. This finally worked because he wasn't focused on restraining himself anymore, but retraining his brain. And it has to start, Drew, with seeking abstinence, start with trying to seek sobriety, but it can't stay there. That's not enough. So anything related to unhealthy sexual behavior is really disordered desires. And so what has to happen is a shift within the belief system where you begin to see properly God's desires for sexuality that are in your life and how you can look at a woman differently, look at a man differently according to God's plan.
All right. Anonymous is listening to us. I'm going to grab her call. She says this is exactly what happened to her. Anonymous, good afternoon.
I'm really glad you're talking about this because I just don't think people think about women. And I'm almost 60 years old, and this started when I was 16, when a family member exposed me to pornography, gave me 9.5 weeks, the book 9.5 weeks to read, and I was 16 years old. It was exactly what happened to me. I sought out those kinds of relationships, abusive relationships, because I read about it, and it was easy to find romance novels that featured that kind of sex, and it's exactly what happened. Is I needed to make it real. I wanted my fantasies to become real, and it ended up in my relationships, in my marriage, and it's just creepy how, without even talking about it, people who have the same ideas get drawn to one another. I mean, that to me is just the devil.
Well, first
but
of all,
my husband out of nowhere had no problem accommodating, and it just about nearly killed me.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you for sharing your story, because I can guarantee you there are other women out there that hear your story, and now they know they're not alone. And some of the women that we work with, they just feel like they're the only one caught up in this, and the shame and the guilt holds them, you know, hostage in that. So thank you for sharing your story. And, you know, it is so true what you said, that many times you're going to find someone else who will engage in these unhealthy sexual behaviors with you, because there are so many people today who have disordered desires. If you're still struggling with this, I would encourage you to give us a call. Our number is 920-766-9380. And we'd be happy to try to help you and get you enrolled in Reclaim Sexual Health, which really can help you get out of this problem.
Anonymous, thank you.
I want to say that It was Relevant Radio that saved me.
Wow. Mm. Well, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
That's
because
wonderful.
I found it on the radio as I was driving, and it gave me the courage to say, I'm not doing this anymore, and I need to stop this, and this needs to stop, and got back into my Catholic faith, and it saved me.
So, and
so
let me
I
ask
want
you,
to thank Relevant Radio for that.
Thank you for sharing that. That's another testimony of what we do. But let me ask you, how did your husband respond to your transformation? Is he on board?
I'm divorced.
Okay.
Well, you know, it's interesting because we promote Relevant Radio and Reclaim Sexual Health as one of the tools. And the reason for that is that we need to get closer and closer to God, because God is the only one who can really heal us. We can give you brain exercises. We can do all of that. But what you need as a foundation is an intimacy with God. And there's two things that are required to have intimacy at all in your life. And one is vulnerability and the other authenticity. And most of us do not have the ability to really see ourselves authentically and live that, and to be willing to be vulnerable. And Relevant Radio will help you learn how to be vulnerable and authentic, right, and recognize your identity as a child of God.
The website for you is ReclaimSexualHealth.com. ReclaimSexualHealth.com. You'll get tons of information there, everything from physiology to ideas in terms of finding freedom. Great material to read. And, of course, you can contact them directly. One more time, Jeannie, with the phone number.
920-766-9380.
If you are on hold, I'll get you on the air if you want to join us. My guests, Jeannie and Bruce Hahnemann from Reclaim. You can check them out at Reclaim Sexual Health.
Get a 360-degree look at all the news and issues of the day right now. This is the Drew Mariani Show, getting you connected on Relevant Radio.
All right, Lewis is listening to us on 1160 AM in San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thanks for being here.
I was telling the gentleman that at one time I was very addicted to pornography, and I told him that I was abused when I was 3 or 4 years old by a family friend. Wow. Large family. I was exposed to sexuality at a very early age. And about 11, 12 years old, I was exposed to pornography. When I was 15 years old, to make it short, I would masturbate 2 to 3 times a day. Got married, still married to the same woman, thank God. And it was hard. And even she discovered, you know, that I was watching pornography. Yeah. And, of course, I denied it. When I was inebriated, I would try to bring her on board to pornography,
right. And
she wouldn't do it. I will say, I got it was it's a weird saying. I got attracted to, like, men, but I knew it was wrong.
You got attracted to men? Is that what you said?
It's hard to explain. My mind was confused. Is what I'm trying to say.
No, I get you.
As to I never crossed the line though.
No, I got you.
And it's been 13 years. I attended a church retreat. God gave me identity. God gave me purpose. And thank you, Lord, I don't have a problem to pornography.
Amen. Praise God.
But it was very hard. It was very hard to get away from pornography, because that was about the only thing I did besides drugs and sleeping with, you know, women of the night.
Right.
That I didn't do drunk. That's the only thing that I did sober. So it was.
Well, praise God.
It was a long trip.
Well, praise God for your wife as well, who was not willing to go along with what you wanted her to do and stood strong. So God bless her.
I love his story though, because God's grace is powerful and it does prevail. And there is freedom. There is healing. There are new days. Pornography is not greater than you. You don't have to let it control you. You don't. And with God and with the right resources, you can truly.
Yeah, the worst sentence I think out there is when it causes you to lose hope, when you hear once an addict, always an addict.
Yeah, no.
And God's healing power is greater than that.
Why is it that some people don't have a problem with porn? I mean, there are people. Do you think everybody does, or what's your thought on that?
Well, I don't think that everybody does, and it has to do with what their original mindset is. If they come at life from a pure understanding, if they understand God's plan for sexuality, that will be part of what won't lead them into the curiosity that takes them down a slippery slope. So that, first and foremost, people that have a strong faith life, I think, are more immune to the probability of being.
I think you're right.
I
think you're right.
But as you go from that, this whole idea of the once an addict, always an addict, that was the part that almost sunk my ship. I mean, I became suicidal when I started to go to these meetings and talk to different people and find out that I was going to be fighting this for the rest of my life.
Is that what they said at these porn? It was a porn meeting that you went to?
Well, yeah. The sex addicts group, you know.
So you, that's terrible. You thought there was no way out, and you thought,
there really was no hope in it. All it was just support.
Yeah.
You know, you support each other and, you know, just carry on from there. There wasn't a healing that was ever proposed or mentioned or brought about. And that's what's so contrary to what we have, especially with our Catholic faith. There's just so many opportunities for healing that every time I get a chance to meet with someone and talk to them, I just hope is the first thing that I want them all to understand.
Well, I want to thank you both personally because for what you do. I mean, Bruce, and I love the way God works. You struggle with pornography, and you may still. I mean, God's grace is there. You're helping other people. You can walk, you know, in their shoes. You can relate to somebody in a way that maybe Jeannie or somebody else can't. So I think there's a lot to that. You know, my father was an alcoholic. You know, I can relate to people who suffer from addiction. I get it. And your organization is doing wonders. And I really want to get people plugged in. And it may be providential you're listening today to this conversation. Very quickly, then I want to jump back to the phones. There's some other great calls here. But reclaim sexual health. Reclaim God's plan for sexual health. What's it all about? What will people find and why should they go there?
Reclaim Sexual Health is actually a very detailed program that you register for. I mean, we have a lot of information on our website, but then you need to register for the program, sign up for the program, and a minimum of 6 months to learn the techniques and the skills that you need to learn. Some people stay in it much longer. It depends, again, how deep you're caught up into unhealthy sexual behavior. But you will learn in there all the different techniques that you need to know on how to retrain your brain instead of just restraining. You get a personal coach who's going to help walk through it with you. There's a worldwide forum with a group of people that are going to support you through this process. But you'll have many videos that help you understand how you got caught up in this. But Drew, I want to jump back into the concept that what we understand now from doing some, you know, kind of looking into what is a profile of a person who gets caught up in internet porn. Yeah. And the top three characteristics are intelligent, sensitive, and spiritual.
Wow.
This is a demonic game. Oh, this is Satan going after anyone in that realm. And so we know that the answer, many times people will say, how can I keep my children from this? Well, again, to help them have, as Bruce said, a true understanding of God's plan. People think, I want to keep their innocence. No, their innocence is teaching them God's plan for our intimacy and relationships, but helping them really understand their own identity as a child of God so they can be themselves, to be authentic who they are. And then allowing them to make mistakes and come to you because that allows them to learn how to be vulnerable. And if we understand how to do authenticity and vulnerability the best, then we're able to be intimate with people. And most people turn to pornography or any kind of unhealthy sexual behaviors because they don't have intimacy in their life. They feel isolated and alone.
Teresita is online, and I want to get another anonymous call. She wants to know what age is appropriate to talk to your kids about this stuff.
I believe that you need to start very, very young. You need to start at least by age 4. We have many therapists we work with around the country that are telling us they have 5-year-olds. The first one I got, I couldn't believe, a psychologist from Denver who said he had a 5-year-old girl that met all the criteria for being a porn addict. Because the computer has become our babysitter. The phone is our babysitter. All these things that get us onto the internet and to find these sites. And a 4-year-old child, between the ages of 4 and 7, is actually a highly sexual time for a child. Now, not in the way you might be thinking, but where we begin to identify as male or female. And so to begin at that very young age to teach them that they are male or female and help them to understand that God has a unique plan for men and for women. And that is the beginning at that age. And then you gradually talk about, because they're using computers at that age, and you begin to talk about what is appropriate and what is inappropriate.
Hey, I want to thank you both. My apologies. Anonymous here is a female as well, saying you are spot on. She fought the problem with porn. I want to thank you for listening. If you want to revisit this, and I would encourage you to do this and to share this link and this file with others, it'll be up. After I sign off, Jake will get it up, okay? So to check out ReclaimSexualHealth.com. It's a great resource. I'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you.